But no, I just learned that, you know, there's no difference between me and them. And you know, there's no reason I couldn't be in their shoes.
Okay, so they did AIDS testing right here in the clinic. And so when they come in for, exactly how does that work? I mean, what I'm trying to say is, I know that I'm not really updated on AIDS, but at one time I thought that it took like 7 years to detect it. Now, is it so? Can you detect it?
To the best of my knowledge, I'm probably not the greatest source on this, but as soon as it enters your blood system, mm-hmm. it's in your blood. It'll show up that it's in your blood. So, and they'll do a test. And if you've been exposed, I believe the statistic is like within 30 days of having it come in your bloodstream, it'll show up. But it'll show up within, like, I'm not sure. I haven't really kept a breath of it. Usually within 30 to 60 days, it'll show up. Now, when you come in, you are given a number. You're given a number, and you are tested, and it takes about 2 weeks. And you have to come back in person to get the phone results, because it's against the law to do it anyway other than in person. Now, I'm not sure, but if I remember correctly, and I think I did, once you've been exposed, once you have been diagnosed as having that causes it, you know, your name is reported to the health clinic just for health reasons. But that does not mean they're going to confront anybody down and say, don't do that. I mean, that's stupid paranoia that thinks that. And the only thing they ask is that you list your contacts, so your contacts can be notified that you have been exposed to it. But your name is never mentioned, and the infected partner's name is never mentioned. You know, they just say, your name has been given to us as a contact. You need to be tested. That type of thing. So that's how that works.
Okay. I know earlier you said your grandparents or your family had apprehensions about you volunteering here. And I know this is a small, small town. And I know that it's very southern. And I know that... and then you also said that this wasn't the original place for this. And so, exactly why did you have to move from the other building? And
the city of Oxford likes to think they ran the clinic out of Oxford. Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is, the building that the clinic was in Oxford was on Main Street. It was like 4 doors down from town hall. Mm-hmm. Believe me, Mayor Smith did not want the clinic there. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, when the clinic first was started, it was started to be a support group type thing. Mm-hmm. It was never intended to become what it has become. And there were about 15 clients at the time. Deborah, the current executive director, came in November 1991. The clinic was moved in January 1992, not because the city of Oxford didn't run them out. The fact of the matter was the clinic grew to huge proportions. And this building is very accommodating. This building has two patient rooms for the patient to be seen in. There's a room for the testing to be done in. There's a room for art therapy. There's a room for the group session. There are the social worker's office and all those type of offices, which the old house, and I was not there when they moved. I came 2 or 3 months after the clinic was moved. But the old house basically was very small, like 4 rooms, and that was it. It was just simply too small. And this building is much more accommodating because right now there have been as many as 170 patients in this clinic. Right now there's about 160 to 170 back and forth depending. And on Tuesdays and clinic days, you can literally, it can be packed in here from 8 to 6. Because there have been several days I know that the staff didn't get out of here till 6, 6:30, 7. And there's also a half a clinic day, I believe, twice a month on Wednesday morning. Because on Wednesday mornings, Dr. Hannah, Diane, and Lori, I believe Vic, who's the social worker now, go to different areas because this clinic serves 11 counties. So they travel around the state to try to get patients who cannot get here to treat the pain. So that's, and you know, it gets very hectic, and you can get burned out very quickly.
And this is the only clinic around here, right? You said the other ones were in Birmingham and Atlanta.
The closest one is the 1917 clinic and AIDS outreach in Birmingham. Now there are clinics at Auburn and South Alabama, and there's some in North Alabama. But for Eastern Central Alabama, this is it. This is the only place that you can get it. There's not one in Etowah County or any of the major big areas. Yeah.
I know, like we were talking about earlier, and all of the clinic got, I'm from here, I know the clinic got very negative responses from the community.
When the clinic was not sure, it was not uncommon for the police department to harass patients in the front and the staff. Their purpose was to find out who was not homosexual, because they wanted to find out and they wanted to rid this fine city of ours from those type of people. And the clinic itself got national press. There were several times the clinic was in USA Today, and several times the clinic was on major network news. NBC, Nightly News had a story about the clinic. The clinic has been on national public radio before. It is one of the only rural health facilities in the country. One of the only ones. And most definitely, at the time when the clinic first started getting its medical grants to do more than just be a support group, it was the only clinic that was rural in the South. And, you know, it's hard to help people when you're trying to have to avoid the police harassing you, avoid having your car tag traced, because if the police traced your tag, they could find your address, they could find out pretty much anything they wanted to. But since the clinic has moved here, we do not have problems with that. You know, Hobson City is very open to the clinic being here. They are very friendly to the clinic. Very supportive of the clinic and what the clinic does.
Now, your patients, when are, I guess you said it was a support group, but it was in the other place. After it moved here, is that when it became a medical facility?
No, it was a medical facility there, but it was originally just a support group. It began to, I'm not sure when, but Dr. Hannah, when she and her family moved from New Orleans here, she started getting involved in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they started to do more and more treatment of patients. Because Dr. Hannah is very renowned for her work in the field of AIDS. She's a very well-respected doctor. I have been at conventions with her before where people walk up from places like California and they're like, "We've heard of you and the work you do." Because I know of several patients that there was one in particular, could not walk through the door. He was brought in here on a stretcher. She brought him back. I mean, she brought him back to a healthy young man who was walking around this place and who was kidding and joking around and who you could not tell was infected.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that has your clientele is it different now, or your patients, are they different now? I know you said there's more, and I'm sure that's because it was downtown, and they, you know, they probably were scared to come in because of all the publicity. But now that it's died down, how exactly has it changed?
Well, in the beginning, when I was there, when I came in, the patients who first started with the support group and first started coming to the clinic were the ones I got to meet. And they were primarily homosexual men, I'd say anywhere from 25 to 40 years of age. And I have seen a couple of hemophiliacs. There have been two married couples I know of, partners of both sexes. They are there for a while, right before I left, volunteering consistently. There were a lot of new females coming in, and I believe that now it is sort of leveled off, because the group that is growing fastest in Alabama besides women is now homosexual men, like 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. There sort of seems to be that gap of the ones that were so terrified of it, and now there's one, now the group is that, you know, they're the ones that sort of fell through the cracks. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that heard about it, they were like, no, it can't happen to us. It's happening to them.
I know you're in school. I know how busy everything gets when you're in school. I know how it's hard. Do you think that you'll continue to, I know right now you can't volunteer steadily, but do you think that you will continue to do this throughout your life?
I'm not always here, and I don't always contribute money to this particular clinic. I am a supporter of AMFAR, and this is the first year, this past December 1st, World AIDS Day, I did not get to participate. First year in 3 years, I didn't get to participate, and it was because I was home from the flu, but yes, this is one of my causes that I don't care. I have weathered storms of controversy in my family, among my friends, because I did lose several friends that found out that I was a volunteer here. You know, that's just it. You can't do that. Mm-hmm.